business.
Casinos in Asia, part 2. Place your bets. Casinos are popping up all over Asia. Their biggest risk is political.
Kabukicho, Japan's biggest fleshpot, swarms over a crowded 1 kilometer block of Tokyo. It is a gaudy patchwork of clubs, massage parlours and seedy hotels, a short walk from what is probably the world's busiest train station. Hoodlums from Yakuza crime gangs tout illicit thrills from a well-thumbed menu of sex, drugs and gambling. Takeshi Iwaya, a politician, wants to pull gambling out of the seedy company it keeps in Kabukicho and put it into giant family-friendly casinos. He is lobbying for Japan to lift its ban on casinos. A share of Macau's eye-watering gambling revenues is the goal. Singapore, home to a couple of new upmarket casino resorts, is the model. 3 years ago, the island state allowed Marina Bay Sands, run by Sheldon Adelson Sands Empire, and Resorts World Sentosa, run by Malaysia's Genting Group, to open. They earned $5.9 billion last year, nearly as much as all of the casinos on the Las Vegas Strip. Before it can reach such lofty heights, however, Japan must legalize casinos. It has been debating doing so for years, but supporters say they have finally lined up all the ducks. A cross-party group of 140 politicians supports the move, including the Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, says Mr. Iwaya. Liberalizing gambling would fit well with Mr. Abe's radical reforms to boost Japan's sluggish growth. Japan's police have dropped their long-standing opposition, and Parliament is expected to debate a legalization bill soon. The time is right, says Mr. Iwaya. Legalization still has its opponents. Keiko Itokazu, another parliamentarian, worries that the Yakuza gangs have a record of muscling in on legal businesses, from property to banking. Mr. Iwaya responds that there are already lots of illegal casinos in Japan. Bringing the business out into the open can only make things better. Liberalizers also argue that casinos will boost Japan's earnings from foreign tourists and, more important, rapidly deliver a tax windfall to the heavily indebted government. A Japanese business magazine, Toyo Keizai, has argued that Japan is being left behind as neighboring countries rush to build lucrative gambling resorts, combining casinos with luxury hotels, shops and cultural attractions. Indeed it is. Countries across the Asia-Pacific region have abandoned their hostility to gambling and are welcoming the big global casino groups. In July, it emerged that Stanley Ho's son, Lawrence, also a casino mogul, had reached a deal to open a casino near Vladivostok in Russia's Far East. Vietnam is looking to boost foreign tourism by expanding its casinos, and proponents of gambling are making headway in Sri Lanka and Taiwan. In July, Australian lawmakers approved a proposal by James Packer, a billionaire businessman, to open a second casino in Sydney. His firm, Melco Crown Entertainment, runs casinos in Macau with the younger Mr. Ho. They are also partners in a casino now being built in the Philippines. Mr. Packer has said he is also keen to move into Japan as soon as it liberalizes. He will face competition closer to home. Tony Fung, a Hong Kong tycoon, plans to build a gambling resort in Queensland. The Philippine capital is famous for many things, floods and traffic jams for a start, but not for striking architecture. Now, however, on a large plot of reclaimed land overlooking Manila Bay, it is getting four big and impressive casino buildings at once. The first of Manila's new gambling venues, the Solaire Resort and Casino, has opened. It is a sleek plate glass affair with a suitably flashy interior created by Paul Steelman, a casino designer from Las Vegas. Operated by the Philippine-owned Bloomberry Resorts and Hotels, Solaire will cost over $1 billion to finish. This was the minimum investment required to win one of the four licenses on offer. The other three Manila projects are joint ventures with overseas operators. The Belgrande, to be operated by Melco, is due to open next year. Another Manila Bay resort is backed by Kazuo Okada, a Japanese billionaire. It has run into various legal troubles that may delay it, including allegations of bribery and using front companies to own land on its behalf. Mr. Okada's company says it plans legal action against employees it accuses of making illegal payments contrary to company rules, and that it is cooperating with the authorities to ensure it obeys the law regarding its land ownership. The fourth project, Resorts World Bayshore, is backed by Genting, a gambling giant with global ambitions. It is also planning to buy an ailing casino in Vegas. Genting kick-started Manila's casino craze when it opened Resorts World Manila, RWM, opposite the capital's main airport in 2009. Older casinos had acquired a dubious reputation as smoke-filled dens for solitary gamblers. RWM demonstrated that a casino complex could appeal to the whole family by incorporating shows, cinemas, and posh shops. The formula satisfies both God and Mammon. It appeased critics of gambling, such as the Philippines' influential Catholic Church, and made lots of money. RWM's takings were $355 million in its first year. The government hopes the new casinos will boost tourism across the country, with punters moving on to beach resorts to spend their winnings, or cry over their losses into their pina coladas. Solaire sees a healthy market both from local punters on modest budgets, with bets of as little as 300 pesos, that's $7, and from VIP tables where the minimum is at least 25,000 pesos. Solaire expects about half of these high rollers to come from mainland China, and another third or so to hail from Japan and South Korea. It will send a private jet to pick up the real big spenders, those who think nothing of splashing out $10 million over the course of a junket. Solaire's owner is Enrique Rezon Jr., whose family made its money in shipping. The only cloud on his horizon is geopolitical. The Philippines' increasingly acrimonious confrontations with China and Taiwan over disputed territories and waters in the South China Sea. This does worry us, Mr. Rezon concedes. When the Chinese government tells people not to go to the Philippines, they don't go, he says. All of the countries in the region have a similar love-hate relationship with China, in which diplomatic spats can all too easily flare up. That is why, as China generates ever larger numbers of well-off consumers with a passion for gambling and a desire to travel, the main concern for the region's many new casino projects is not competition from each other. It is politics.